to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 30th, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue to read through the summer the parables of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. There are some wonderful parables, and we were saying a few weeks ago that one of the points of the parable is that there is no necessarily right answer. They cause us to use our imagination and to think. And this is nowhere better represented than in this chapter, where we have just a whole bunch of parables, one after the other, as if to prove that no one image can contain the mystery and the majesty of the kingdom of heaven. We need lots of different images to give us a picture, snapshots, different angles on what this kingdom means. Some of the parables are fascinating to me. The mustard seed is a classic one. That big things can grow from little seeds, that's a great one. The yeast that brings life. You know, yeast is a living organism that transforms flour with sugar into this wonderful bread. It's a magical kind of livening process. And it is part of the reason that bread, I think, is part of our Eucharist. Then we have this pearl of great price, or the treasure hidden in the field. This seems to be that there is something so precious about the kingdom of heaven that you would sell everything you have to get this wonderful, precious thing. I wonder if there's something in your life. You know, I think about all the things that we dedicate ourselves to. A lot of people think, oh, if only I had the perfect job, I would be happy. Or the best education, or perhaps for many it is a relationship. If I could just find that one person, I think it's a horrible illusion and mistake that we tell people that they have a soulmate. There's only one soulmate for you in the world. I was listening to a pop song yesterday, and the pop song basically was saying there's only one person for you, and if you have to travel to Tahiti or somewhere else, you'll find this person. I thought, what a terrible thing to tell someone, that there's only one person for them in the world, and they may spend the rest of their lives and all their money traveling to find this person. Yet we would love to have that kind of relationship. How fortunate and blessed are people who find that kind of partnership. Someone who might be with you for, let's say, picking a number out of a hat, 68 years. Would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? To have that kind of love and commitment and partnership and friendship. Not everyone is blessed to have that. Many marriages fail. Some people never find the person who they want to spend the rest of their life with. But what a gift it is when we have that. What a wonderful blessing it can be to have that kind of relationship. Whatever that one thing is that we search for and yearn for and desire, I think Jesus points us to a deeper truth as well. And that deeper truth is that even when we get it, our hearts are not fully satisfied. There's a deeper yearning in our souls. Jacob is the wonderful story. We've been following his story as well. And Jacob found that one thing in Rachel. He fell in love with her. Now, Jacob, remember, had fled his homeland. He'd fled the promised land, and he had gone back to where his grandfather grew up in Mesopotamia. And he found a relative there who would take him in, Laban. Jacob and Laban are two of the most hilarious frenemies in the Bible. They are kinsmen. They actually care for each other, but they are rivals and fellow schemers. They're always trying to outdo one another. So Jacob says, I'll work 7 years for Rachel. And Laban pulls the switcheroo at the last minute. And that wonderful, hilarious line in the Bible. And in the morning, Leah, surprise, you've married the wrong girl. So he has to work another 7 years for Rachel. He's schnookered. He is taken for a ride, and Laban gets 7 more years of work out of him. But was Jacob fully satisfied even when he married the girl of his dreams? Did that satisfy all of his deep yearnings? I don't think so. We know that in our human lives, only one thing can fully satisfy the deepest yearnings of our lives. And that yearning is really for full communion with God, the God who provides so abundantly for us, the God who St. Paul says, and by the way, it wouldn't be a horrible idea to clip out this reading from Romans and put it on your front door, something to read every day. This to me is, if you were to take the whole of the Bible, the whole of the gospel, and you were to summarize it into one little piece, St. Paul captures this in a way that just makes my heart sing every time I read it. What can separate us from the love of God? Neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor principalities, nothing in the world, nothing in the universe can separate us from the love of God. This deep communion with God is something that comes to us as a gift. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to travel to Tahiti. We don't have to work 7 years for it. It is given to us through the gift of Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, God who came to take our human nature upon us and to welcome us into the most intimate relationship with God. Jesus who intercedes for us with God. Jesus who sends the Holy Spirit to be God's presence within our hearts. We don't have to look for God because God is inside us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We stumble and fumble through our lives. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to talk to God. But the Spirit is communicating within us. Last week, St. Paul said, the whole creation is groaning in labor pains. And now it is the Spirit itself who is groaning within us, praying with sighs too deep for words. The same word is groaning, with this kind of primal speech that is beyond words, this inner amazing communion with God. Perhaps you felt that from time to time in moments of stress or difficulty or grief, moments when you felt so at a loss, moments when life was falling apart. Did you feel that peace that passes understanding, that sense that even though everything looks terrible, it's all going to be well? Think of the mystics, all those great saints through the ages who told us in different ways what this feels like. Julian of Norwich, who said, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. When we feel that peace that comes to us from within and above, we know that we are in the presence of God, that God is speaking, groaning, sighing within us. This gift of communion with God is what we are really yearning for. Everything else is wonderful, a good job, a wonderful marriage, good health, the beauty of nature, even a nice cigar once in a while. These are all wonderful things, but they don't satisfy the deep longing. One of the reasons I think that we come together to worship is to seek that which God continues to give us, to be fed with this meal of bread and wine, which is Jesus' presence with us, to be reassured by these scriptures like St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which remind us of this continued and unsurpassing love that God has for us, to band together in community, to celebrate the good news that God is with us, that God is for us, and that nothing can shake that relationship or separate us from the love of God, not even death. Thanks be to God. Amen.